Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 227. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy. Last week, we launched something incredibly exciting.
A rocket.
A little Friday
rocket. A content rocket.
And the reception has been incredible. We now, every single week, release a bite-sized audio only episode on a Friday called The Clubhouse. The first episode dropped last week. Hopefully you like the style, a bit more chilled. We had our feet up on the desk. In fact, we didn't record it here. We were sent hands on links, but it was just a much more chilled vibe. This is the premium show.
Yeah.
The number one show in golf, entertainment, podcast, news, everything. And The Clubhouse is just like a little chilled out spin-off.
This is your full fat Coke with ice and lemon on a nice summer's day.
Yeah.
And then the Friday one's a little Coke Zero, just a random, go on, have a Coke Zero.
With a tiny little shot of Jack Daniels.
Nice.
thank you so much for everyone that listened. Again, if you missed out on it, it's audio only, available on your favourite audio podcast platforms, whether that be Spotify, whether that be Apple Podcasts, whether that be...
Google.
iHeartRadio.
Oh, nice.
Is that one?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we're on there, but it's definitely something.
Make sure you are tuned in, subscribe to all the audio platforms, because it's, like I say, it's a love a little Friday treat in your ears.
Your vibe changed on a Friday episode, I've noticed. You're a bit more prim and proper and professional on here. A bit more Richard/Rick. And then the Friday one comes about, and for some reason, hats on backwards, tops off weirdly always. And then you're a bit more like Ricky comes out to play.
You know what it was? I think because we recorded a Friday podcast on a Monday, it put me straight in Friday mode.
Correct.
I was ready for the weekend already.
Yeah,
so
I get that.
In today's episode, we've got another action-packed episode. It was great having Sophie on the podcast last week. Apologise, there's a little audio glitch that wasn't quite our perfect premium. Like, you can literally hear every single little nuance of our voices and accents.
Can hear your whiskers rustling.
On these wonderful mics we have in the studio. Out on location, we had a little mishap, so sorry about that. But we are back to our normal 100% quality this week.
Okay, then, just for one second, you be an angry listener who wasn't happy with the audio of last week's episode, so tell me that.
I'm typing.
Yep, so you've said, what's your message say?
I've been a long fan for many, many years.
Yeah.
I've listened to all 225 episodes so far, but I may no longer listen ever again because the audio was so absolutely excruciatingly awful that it's hurt my eardrums and made them burst.
Okay, so I've got an email here off Mr. A. Bell. Hi, Mr. Bell. I'm sorry you weren't happy with the audio, but it was either a slightly ropey audio or no podcast. Which would you rather have?
Seeing that you've put it that way, yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed the podcast and I thought Sophie's input was very valuable as always.
Yeah, true. So get lost.
Anyway, all fun and games. I played last week, get this, you ready?
Yep.
72 holes of golf.
Wow, you made the cut?
Not a chance. I definitely wouldn't have made the cut. Last week, I played golf every single day, Monday all the way through to Friday, and
So it wasn't 18 holes every day then?
No. Right, holes on the Monday, holes on the Tuesday.
You lost me there.
18.
Of course.
This weekend, I felt it though.
Really?
Yeah. I'm getting old, Guy. It just like, a little like, oh, I can feel it in my back. But it was also very testing conditions last week. So a bit of a rundown for everyone listening. We're really excited to partner with The Open this year. Obviously, I've worked with The Open for many, many years. really, there's only two major championships in the world. It's the Masters and the Open. And to be able to partner with the Open and do some really exciting content for One Club this year is going to be excellent. So make sure you are following along and downloading One Club. You're going to get exclusive access, exclusive content from yours truly. And Monday, we're at St. Anne's Old Links, hence why we're filming with Sophie Walker. Yep. Also filmed with Jimmy Anderson, a Test cricketer. Was it really interesting chatting to Jimmy? I've probably said this to you, I'm not a real cricket fan at all.
No, nor am I.
I've really not followed any of it. And when the guys at the Open said, oh, we've got Jimmy Anderson coming along filming, I'm like...
So he's a comedian.
I'm thinking to myself, God, I've got to do some research. But what a lovely guy.
I've heard, yep.
Unbelievable golf. They're all, the cricketers, he was telling me, they're all passionate, love their golf, borderline more than they love the cricket.
Is it true that cricket players often slice it from that kind of batting?
A little bit, yeah. He played a very powerful power fade.
Yeah, I've heard
so
that.
Right, so it was like lots of power, lots of down action, because they don't want the ball to go up in the air in cricket.
Yeah.
Very much down action. But yeah, played really well. Also filmed with James Robinson, who's the pro at St. Anne's Old Link. So that was a lovely little Monday. Tuesday went to another one of our favourite places in the world, Wallasey.
Mm.
It's freakingly scary how dry that place is this time of year.
Yes.
I mean, everywhere else in the UK at the moment is quite literally underwater. We've had the wettest February on record. It's been warm and wet here in the UK, which is amazing for grass growth, horrendous for greenkeepers because they can't literally get the mowers out on the golf course. Wallasey looks like they've had a one day of rain.
I would like to collectively now come up with five things we love about Wallasey Golf Club.
Wow.
In no particular order. Can I go first?
Go on.
Food.
Food is pretty awesome.
Incredible.
Home of Stableford.
Home of Stableford. Very good shout. For me, I'm now going to go, let me just think, fourth tee, the view.
Fourth tee is pretty good. One of the members from many years ago invented the stand for a golf bag.
Yes.
I mean, that is iconic.
Yep.
They've got the patent for the stand of a golf bag.
Yes.
Fifth. I know my fifth. Fuck, pretty easy. Staff.
Yeah.
From the pro to Gareth, the manager, to the wonderful catering staff. It is an amazing place. Anyway, on Tuesday, I did some more filming for the Open and One Club with Hannah Davis, who's been on the channel before, with Tony Bellew.
Wow.
World...
he beat David Hay, didn't he?
Cruiserweight champion of the world.
Was that when he got the belts off David Hay?
I believe so. Cruiserweight champion of the world. Gaz from Geordie Shore, his golf's massively improved, actually, Gaz is. And Locksmith from the band Rudimental. So a real mixture of characters. But we actually had an incredible day film and the weather was perfect. And Wallasey, as always, was incredible. So again, if you want to check out all this content, it will be coming out in due course on One Club. And then...
just at the start of that, you mentioned that there's only really two majors, which I would agree with in terms of my excitement. I'm only really excited by the Masters and the Open. However, having said that, if the US Open or the USPGA want to sponsor this podcast, they could absolutely rise to my number one like that.
If they want to get involved, come to our table.
Yeah, absolutely. So the US Open, listening, anyone from the US Open, please sponsor us.
You know what all it is? Truth be told, I've just never been to one of those major tournaments.
You've never been flown out business class, been paid $5 million and all drinks included.
If that was the case.
Then exactly, we'd be
easily there.
Easily.
So the Open was, the buzz around the kind of the Open this year, obviously it's the last major of the year now in July. It feels like there's so much emphasis on the Masters. It's literally around the corner. Is it like 3 weeks away?
You know what though? Yeah, I think it's, well, you're going, you tell me.
It's 3 weeks away. Oh, I fly out on the 9th. I think I'm teeing it up first round on the 11th. No, the first round is the 11th of April this year.
You know what, though? Before we go on to other topics, just on that, then on the majors this year, the Open, obviously, all the four majors. I feel this year, we've said this before, it's a big year because of the fact you've got the LIV guys, you've got the PGA Tour guys, DP World Tour guys. It's those four events where they get to come together. But this year, for me, is quite important as well because if, hopefully this isn't the case, but if another four majors go by without Rory winning one, it will literally be 10 years since his last win of a major championship, which would obviously be the Open at Royal Liverpool 2014. I almost won't be able to comprehend that someone like Rory, who has been so good, so consistent, so dominant in so many ways, and so if you look at the world rankings for the last 15 years or so, Rory's been up there. How can 10 years have gone by that without taking home a major championship?
I think there was, I saw an article and I should have probably screenshotted it because it was saying about how many major tournaments have taken place, how many major winners there has been, which I think was about 230 off the top of my head, and how many multiple major winners there's been. There's not been many multiple major winners, like less than 100. Like yeah, I think it was about 80 multiple major winners. You then look at multiple major winners, such as Rory, who's won 4. You think that is difficult to keep winning. It really is. I mean, not that he can't win and he should win and he has to win more majors. It's like it would be a travesty against golf if he didn't win the Masters. Just because his game suits that place so much, it's ridiculous. But competition is getting harder. Like, as much as Tiger now has announced he is playing in the Masters this year, which is exciting, just because you want to see him at Augusta. The fact of now, you look at the players going into the Masters, I've not looked at the betting, but where is Rory in that list?
It's got to be 2 or 3, hasn't it? It's going to be Scotty.
It's got to be John Rahm. Then is it Rory?
It must be. Right, let me have a quick look.
Who's the odds on favourite? So
the odds on favourite is Scotty Scheffler, then it's Rory, then it's Rahm, then Koepka, Spieth, Hovland, Schauffele, Zalatoris, Åberg, and so on.
It is, second favourite. He's probably been second or third or certainly top five favourite for 10 years, 20 years. Well, not quite 20 years, 15 years. So that'll be really interesting to see. And obviously, like you mentioned, the kind of coming back together of all these tours. And I was watching again, we talked about the Netflix show, The Full Swing, and it reminded me of that kind of very bizarre scenario where it was Rory and Brooks Koepka going out practicing together.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks they kind of hate each other, but actually when you saw them at the Masters and they're going out kind of practicing and being quite pally, I wonder what we're going to see this year. Are we still going to see the same sort of relationships? Like, or has the divide fractured more? I can't tell. Between players, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think it has, but I don't know. I could easily be wrong. But then you do sometimes see when you have like the practice rounds that some players are in friendship groups that you might have never have thought about. I remember, obviously, you know, Tiger Woods was so close with Mark O'Meara, who, quick guess, is what, 15 years his elder, and they were obviously really close.
Like, more like a mentor for him, wasn't it?
Exactly. But who knows?
So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm going to be there for the full week, courtesy of Mercedes-Benz, which I'm really, really excited about. Obviously, it is an amazing tournament, the Masters, and I cannot wait to see what happens this year. And then from the filming I was doing with the Open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere that I've genuinely wanted to go for so many years and for whatever reason just never get over there because it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. We went to one of the best golf courses in the UK, which is about 3 hours away from where we are now in Manchester. We went to Woodall Spa.
We did.
The first day I played the Bracken course, which has got two golf courses there. The Bracken course, which isn't as highly regarded, but honestly, really, really enjoyed it. It was wet and the day was wet. I don't want to give away the video, but I had the best front nine ever on any video that I've ever produced ever.
You know what's interesting with that statement? And you told me what happened, but when somebody says I had the best front nine, that gives so much away without saying so much, because why is it not I had the best 18 holes?
I had the best nine you'll ever see me play. I don't think I can. You know when people say you golfed your ball? I golfed my ball that day.
I've never seen you golf your ball.
For 9 holes, my ball was golfed.
Question for you then. You know, like, speaking of betting, I do not gamble whatsoever. Not a fan of it. Some people might do. Some people very much enjoy it. Some people have issues with it, whatever. But I know there's a thing now with gambling where, say, if you put a bet on Rory to win the Masters and he is leading after 2 or even 3 rounds, you can then cash out your bet, can't you? And it's not going to get the full, obviously, winning, but it's worth doing. But it's a risk still, because what if he then does win and you would have got more, etc.? Well, are you the kind of person where after 9 holes, if somebody said to you, right, Rick, I'm going to say level par through 9 holes, you can cash out now for shooting 2 over. Would you do it?
No.
Would you not?
No, because I do. If I'm playing well, I back myself.
Yeah, that's fair.
If I'm playing bad, I'd love to cash out.
Just end it there?
Yeah. Well, if at 9 holes, they said, if I just knew it wasn't going my way that day, I find it very difficult to think there's going to be a massive shift in direction on the back nine. Where for me, if I'm playing well, I don't foresee a mess up.
Wow.
Albeit that's not the case, but I don't foresee a mess up.
I'm the opposite to that completely. So if I was two under or level par or whatever through nine holes, which is very rare, I would absolutely cash out because I've not got the gonads to see it through. However, if I was six, seven, eight over, I almost look forward to the back nine to try and damage limitation.
If someone said to me, like, yeah, after nine, if I was six over, you're going to finish the round at six over. I don't know, what would it be then? I don't even know how that would work.
So, yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Either way, I would. If I'm playing bad after nine, I feel like I don't feel I can get it back massively.
Well, sorry, I think the way it would work was you're six over through nine, playing horrendous. Someone says, right, you can cash out for eight over, done. Would you do it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Where if someone said to me, you can roll the dice and you might shoot level par or under par, I'm just not feeling it today. Yeah. It's not my day. Anyway, Bracken was a really good course. On the Thursday, you joined me.
I did.
For the Hotchkin course, which we had much better weather for. The fact that the two golf courses are literally next to each other, the difference in ground condition was staggering. Now, I know you didn't play the Bracken course with me, but it was lovely. I actually really enjoyed the Bracken course a lot, but it was wet underfoot. Yeah. We had so much rain. The Hotchkins course, how dry was it?
It was insane.
It was Wallasey dry in the middle of in Midland. Yeah. So it's in Lincolnshire, the golf course, Woodall Spa. It's the home of England golf. The Hotchkins course is often ranked in the top five golf courses in the UK and often ranked in the top 60 golf courses in the entire world.
Well, it's quite a flex. When you go on the WoodhillSpaGolf.com website, the first thing you see is the Hotchkin course, 58th best golf course on the planet. And like you said, obviously we played it mid to end of March. It's not going to be in the condition it will be in June, July, August, etc. But for the time of year, and yeah, what a golf course it was.
We played off the very back tees.
We did.
There's 143 bunkers out on the golf course. The greens are really interesting. The Bracken course, the greens are crazy. Like, honestly, some of the undulations are mad. On the Hotchkins course, they're much flatter. But I've got a little gripe.
Go on.
I've got a little gripe. It's happened once or twice before when we've been to a venue. And as much as I love Woodall Spa and Hotchkin course, they tried to stitch us up.
Mm.
They tried to stitch us up in a bad way, I think. It's happened before at Ashridge.
Yeah.
Where you had your...
That first hole was a fantastic hole. Yeah.
That teased us in there.
Correct.
After Guy held his second shot.
Stop it. I hate talking about this whole out shot
on the first hole. Don't. And then followed it up with an eight.
Yeah, it's fine. don't talk about
it. You went 5-5.
Yeah, exactly.
The pins on the Hotchkin course... Yes. Were the most ridiculous pins I've ever seen in my life. Ever.
Mm.
And it frustrated me quite a bit.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is the case. I think it possibly is. But sometimes when we go to these golf courses, naturally they are excited for us, for you to go there, because they know the video will get seen by a lot of people. I think they're sometimes a little bit cautious that they obviously and naturally want the golf course to be seen in a good light. So certainly when we go at like this time of year, there are golf courses who almost refuse us to a degree because they say, look, it's not up for it. And I get that. You know, if you've got a product that you are proud of and that you want to be seen but in its best possible case, for most golf courses, middle of March is not the time to be going. However, the Hotchkin was phenomenal, as we said. And again, credit to them. However, you are right. There was a handful of pins that were put in places that...
There were 17 pins that were put in places.
Well, that's
that were
it. And I think, I don't know if it's the green staff thinking, right, we don't want Rick.
I did find out, you know.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What was... So it wasn't just a conspiracy that was done on purpose?
It was done on purpose.
How did you find out?
Annoyed me even more. So after the round, obviously, I'd vocalised it a few times through the video because they were a bit daft. It was like, it was crazy golf sometimes. They had experienced some low rounds of golf that winter,
right,
from very, very good professional golfers and amateurs, and they were scared that someone like me would go around and shoot a ridiculously good score.
I get that. Sorry.
So they absolutely didn't want that.
You know what? This is my little plea to golf courses listening, and you almost shut your ears, Rick. But if we ever ring a golf course or want to go, we absolutely are so incredibly grateful for golf courses accommodation. We don't take it for granted. You know, when we make those phone calls, 99 times out of 100 or so, pleasantly treated. We turn up, we have great chats with the pro, maybe the secretary, the bar staff, whoever it might be. I've always, at most golf courses, phenomenal, and we really do appreciate that. It's not us taking it for granted at all. However, there's no point in something the golf course insanely difficult, is there? Because, you know, you're not going to go out and shoot 62, let's be honest. Like, make it nice, make it as good a condition as possible, make it tough in parts, that's fine. But the pins, yeah, it's not needed.
What's going to make a better video? Like, if I was on my game and you know, played as well as I did the front nine the day before and played a really good round of golf, and we actually, you know, I went out and shot a 68 or whatever, that would get more views than me shooting a score where I'm protecting against pins all day long.
I've got a question for you then. Let me just maybe, Matt, is your mic on? Maybe you and Ed can answer this. So, Rick, I'm going to ask you the question first and see what you say, and then these guys. If you're a member of a golf club, which I know you're not, would you rather people think of your golf course, who aren't members, so outsiders, as being a good condition golf course or a hard golf course?
Good condition.
Okay, Matt?
Good condition.
Ed?
Good condition.
Purdue's. I think some places, like some members should have said, like the golf would be known as being difficult. It's like almost a badge of honour, like, oh, it's a tough course that we're members at. And I think sometimes green staff, naturally, like Youthly have just said, want their course to be seen as being good condition. Of course they do, on a video that's going to be watched by hundreds of thousands of people. But I still think there's that element of like they don't want you going shooting a great score because they want that pride in it, but it doesn't really work.
I would be praising a golf course much more. And the condition was good.
It was phenomenal.
I almost overlooked the condition because of some of the crazy pins.
One thing I didn't overlook was that I played 18 holes of golf, and I won't mention my score. I'll wait for the video for that. However, I didn't lose a single ball.
Wowzers.
Now,
you nearly did on the last hole.
Correct. Nearly did on the last, but it was in bounds. But I had the absolute epitome of a round, which you can't really explain unless you've done it, which obviously most golfers have. Where I played great but didn't score. That's all I'm going to say.
It was, I thought you hit it as best as I've seen you hit
probably
the golf
did,
ball.
Yeah. I'd agree. I was hitting it thinking, I should be qualifying for the Open, at least getting close to.
You did mention about...
Yeah, maybe I did. Maybe I did. I was at one point thinking, right, that's it, I'm calling it. Anybody that makes videos online, I'm calling you out. You want a game, Peter Finch? Yeah, I'll beat you. Anyone like that. And then I started putting... And worked, did it?
Didn't.
If I had put it well, oh my days.
You would have.
Course record would have been in danger. That's my favourite tactic. Did you see on the first? That's Daniel. I hit a decentest tee shot. Oh no, I didn't even hit a good tee shot. But my little joke, which I think is hilarious, I don't know if people really do, I always ask like whoever's with us, like, oh, what is the course record? Like 63. Okay.
Have you seen, there's a really funny clip actually, it's like, there's a guy out on it's on Instagram or TikTok, and his guy after the first hole, he rings the pro chef up.
Oh yeah.
And he goes, John, I've just birded the first hole, I just want to check what's the course record.
Yeah. But you know what, before we come on to your next game of golf, which was on Friday, I spoke then about, you know, golf and YouTube, and obviously we talk a lot about golf and YouTube, but this weekend, Rick, I think I may have found a new passion. Because I did something which I've not told you about just yet. I told Matt off camera. And I enjoyed it so much. I then got home last night and got into the YouTube scene of said thing. Okay? And I believe I could give you a million guesses of what I did this weekend and then what I started watching YouTube videos about, and you wouldn't guess it.
Okay. I'll play that game because I also have got a similar story.
Okay. Wow.
Weirdly. Wow. And I don't think you'll guess what I was massively obsessed with this weekend.
Wow.
Okay. I'll ask you a few questions. Okay. Yeah. Was it sport related?
No.
If it's the same thing that I've been obsessed with.
It can't be. No, it won't be. Trust me.
Is it about colours?
No.
All right.
Oh, I know yours, I think, because I've seen it on YouTube. Maybe on your account.
I've been obsessed this week. So it's not about sport. Is it about, if it's not about sport, food?
I'm going to have to put you out of your misery. This weekend, yesterday, with my family, me and my brother shared this role, so I can't claim it for myself, but I'll go with it for the point of the podcast. I captained a narrowboat.
That is a sport. That is a sport.
And I absolutely loved it. We went near Matt's house, which I won't say on the podcast unless he doesn't want me to, which was a nice area. And
Matt's house.
Yeah. And about 6 hours, we went along the canal, went to a nice pub, had some lunch, then canaled back, and I captained it.
And do you have anyone with you?
No.
It's a mad concept, that,
it's
isn't
insane.
It?
So you're literally this
like,
fella.
You are literally given the access to like a longboat,
I have
basically.
My own vessel, Rick. I was captain of a
and not
vessel.
Not just a bag.
Of a 50cc vessel. Yeah, not just a bag, nice. Yeah, so basically, we got on it. He came with us, the guy, showed us how you use it. Did a little like U-turn, this big bit of the river canal. Came back, and then it was ours.
Do you have to navigate any locks?
No. So there's no locks, thankfully. There was other boats coming. My brother crashed it into a boat.
Oh.
Another boat. I didn't crash it. Oh. Nearly did. And
you threw him under the boat then?
God. He's gliding through this podcast. And I absolutely enjoyed it thoroughly. And as we were going along some of the parked up boats, I was looking in and there was some that had these insane like kitchens and everything. And
imagine what you'd have seen.
Well, I know. I always had a very basic toilet, kitchen, etc. And then I got home, straight onto YouTube. Next thing, I was watching vloggers about narrowboats. And it's incredible. I've become fully invested in the whole narrowboat scene.
You can live on one.
People, yes.
Proper live on
absolutely
one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, do you remember Rosie and Jim, the TV show back in the day? It was like these puppets and they lived on the narrowboat.
Yeah, I do. Well, they had those toys in the shop. We'll be checked in. Also, yeah, I won't give anything away because the guy that showed us initially how to use the boat... he was a very pleasant bloke, and he said, "Oh, you know, we were on about boats clearly, and he'd lived on one until very recently. He's now living in a flat because him and his partner have broken up, which is quite obviously a shame." And we're asking like, "How much would this boat cost?" Blah, blah, blah. And he said, "Oh, you know, you can spend the one I was living in until recently, $260,000. So you can buy a house on the lake."
But let's say about $260,000. Mm. Okay, I'm guessing you can't get a mortgage on a narrow boat.
That's a good question. I don't know.
You might be able to pay like installments.
Yeah. I really don't know.
And you pay like property tax?
Well, you have to pay to have it. What's it called, Matt?
Docked.
You know it's not docked. Yeah. Moored.
Yeah, you'll have a mooring fee. Depends on if you're on. I'm well versed in this, but you'd have a mooring fee if you're in a marina. But then you can actually have a thing which is called continuous cruising, which is basically you just live on the water on the assumption that you're constantly traveling. So you'd have to say like, move your boat every 2 weeks and the boat police come up and down the canal to check if you're still in the same spot.
Did you
and
see
that's
any
free.
Boat police?
No, I didn't. But, you know, I thought as well, and last thing on this, before you get into your little niche, I was thinking that we should absolutely, as a team, rent one in the summer because it would be incredible. If you wanted to get on the beers as well, oh my word, you'd love it. It was incredible.
I'm going to keep my niche.
Okay.
For the Clubhouse episode.
Oh, God, you're a attention king. The only reason I know what your niche is, by the way, is I this morning went onto YouTube, onto your account, to check some analytics from Break 75, which we'll come on to in a moment. And there was lots of suggested videos of said things.
I am obsessed.
And when you said colours.
I'm obsessed with it. So I'll keep that in the Clubhouse episode. If you want to find out what my niche is, make sure you listen to that.
So two things then. I want to hear about your video on Friday that you filmed.
Yes.
And then we'll come on to the latest Break 75 that went out.
So Friday, it was that time of year when me and Peter Finch head towards Golf Bidder headquarters,
yes. The
home of secondhand golf clubs. Definitely check it out if you want to buy secondhand clubs. If you want to chop in any old clubs of yours and get cash or be able to use credit to buy new equipment, definitely check out Golf Bidder. I'll put the link in the podcast description. It was now, me and Peter have been doing this for nearly a decade, the challenges.
Oh my word.
And we went back to the home of the first ever Golf Bidder Challenge, Burr Hill,
nice.
Golf Club in Surrey. And we had what can only be described as a classico, as Pete would probably say, match, Golf Bidder match, where we both spent £500 on secondhand clubs. And we had a match play at Burr Hill that was filmed the same day as picking the clubs. I was the happiest of my club selection of any year that I've ever done it. I walked out of that Golf Bidder like, these are the best clubs I have ever, ever, ever picked.
Can I ask you a question? So obviously when you play against Pete in this challenge, you want to win, right? That's obvious. You'd be insane not to. If you don't win, then obviously you want to draw, half it. And if you don't half it and then you have to lose, that's not ideal, but you at least want to lose by a close margin. The last thing you want to do is get beat and get battered. Can you confirm or deny to me that you either won, drew, or got beat by a small amount, which any of those makes an amazing video?
I don't want to give it away,
mm-hmm.
but I'll give something away.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't know this, and I still need to fact check it because I don't, Pete said it, and I'm not sure. Out of all the Golf Bidder challenges we've ever done,
mm-hmm.
okay, we are currently tied.
Wow.
Like, of the results. which I'm finding hard to believe, but apparently we're exactly tied of all the matches we've ever done. We're exactly tied. Obviously, last year's episode, when we filmed at St. George's Hill, literally went down to last. And unfortunately, I was two up with two to play and ended up halving the match, which hurt a lot, but didn't lose it half the match. I don't want to give anything away because it could honestly spoil the video in multiple different ways. I think it was the most, I wouldn't know how to describe it. I think it's the best golf bit of video we've ever filmed.
Wow.
It's out the Friday after the Masters. So once you've just been injected with the Masters and your love for golf is at its peak, wang. I was going to say bang for some reason.
I thought you said something else then.
Bang. The Friday after, you get a golf bit of challenge, me versus Pete. So it's an epic, epic match.
Wow.
Burr Hill, amazing venue, to be honest. There's two golf courses there, the new course and the old course. We were supposed to be playing the new course, but it was slightly wetter, so we couldn't take buggies out for the camera guys. We actually switched it to the old course.
Is the old course better?
From memory, I actually think the new course might be better. I filmed the very first ever golf bit of video at the new course with Pete. The old course, I actually filmed the Dude Perfect video at many years ago.
Yes.
So I'd only ever played the front nine of the old course. So the back nine was kind of new to me. Pete did know the back nine. He's played all 18, but I'm not letting that affect the result at all. So yeah, really, really, really good. It was great having a match with Pete. I think people are going to love it. Just before we do come on to anything, I want, so that was my golf last week. I had nine holes with the Open on Monday, nine holes with the Open on Tuesday, Woodall Spa, two rounds of golf, and then the golf bit of batch. Loads of videos coming out very, very soon. Before we come on to Yaz Links, which am I saying it wrong? Because I seem to get a lot of grief. I keep calling it Abu Dhabi.
You say Abu Dhabi a lot of the time. Not what is it? Abu.
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So it should be Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And I say Abby.
You say, yeah, Abby. Abby Dhabi.
Okay. Abu Dhabi. Anyway, before we come on to that, one thing that I'm very excited for this year, and it's I got a reminder on my phone yesterday via email, in four weeks, I am, again, participating in what is quite literally the hardest challenge I've ever, 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 ever done in my life. In 4 weeks, 21st of April on a Sunday, I am running the London Marathon again.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb.
your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
London Marathon 2024. Last year, I did my first ever London Marathon. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I did zero, and I mean zero, training. This year, I would say I've trained, not to the full extent, but I feel so much more confident going into the London Marathon this year. I want to comfortably knock an hour off my time. So I did it in 5.5 hours last time. I want to definitely beat 4.5 hours. But I'm also doing it for a fantastic cause. It's Never You. So I ran with Kerry last year, who I'm running again with it this year. He set up a charity after, unfortunately, his son, Hugh, lost his battle with cancer. He was only 7 years old. It was really sad. So Kerry set up a charity. It's called It's Never You, because you feel like, as a parent, it's never going to happen to you. It's never going to happen to your family. And it's to help parents of... it's to help parents with children with cancer. He felt like once his son did develop cancer, he didn't feel like the support system was very good. Certainly when Hugh lost the battle with cancer, he felt like the system really let himself down, him and his wife and his family. So he set up a charity. He's doing incredible work, like incredible work. He's actually now taking it to Parliament. Wow. He's had Rishi Sunak talking about it, how it's going to become almost mandatory. Again, I'm excited to run the charity for It's Never You. I've set up a Just Giving page. If you can donate, honestly, the listeners and the viewers of the channel, the podcast, are so unbelievably generous. Like, you really are. I actually went on my Just Giving to set up this new link. And my Just Giving page, get this, of all the charity work I've done over the last few years, because of your help, for you watching, you listening, we've raised a grand total so far of £240,000.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So if we can, I mean, if we can get that over 250, if we can have raised over the last few years, £250,000 would be amazing. So I've put in the top line of the description of the podcast and the YouTube video, the Just Giving link. It's justgiving.rick-shields-marathonrun. If you can donate what you can, it'll be massively appreciated, massively appreciated. And it's for a really important cause. In fact, Kerry sent me this video, which I think's important to listen to. And this is the reason why I'm running the London Marathon 2024.
It's always someone else. It's never you. Those were the first words my wife spoke to me when our son Hugh was told that he had cancer in 2020. In every corner of the UK, families are facing a battle that no one should ever have to fight: childhood cancer. Around 2,000 children a year are diagnosed with cancer in the UK, and for those parents, every day is a test of strength and resilience. Behind the scenes of those smiles are stories of pain, courage, and sacrifice. It's a journey that's hard to comprehend unless you've walked it yourself. That's why we, at It's Never You, stand beside parents who face the unthinkable, offering a hand to hold, a shoulder to lean on, and a platform that understands the unique challenges of childhood cancer. We built the UK's only exclusive platform for parents of children with cancer, the Children's Cancer Platform, a lifeline for parents navigating the complexities of their child's illness. It's a place of shared experiences, expert advice, and a community that truly understands. But we're not stopping there. It's Never You is not just a support system, it's a voice for change. We're standing up and speaking out, advocating for better financial help for families dealing with childhood cancer. We're knocking on the doors of policymakers, urging them to see the change that's needed. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of these families, ensuring that no parent has to face a financial burden alone. With the help of our MP, Sir Oliver Heald, we introduced a bill, Hugh's Law, which will financially help parents who have been forced to leave work and normality to look after a sick child. It's Never You started from our deepest pain, the loss of a beloved 6-year-old son, Hugh, to cancer. Today, we channel that pain into purpose, ensuring that no other parent has to endure what we went through. But we can't do it alone. We need your support to amplify our voice. to extend our reach and to be the strength that these families desperately need. Join us in this fight. Help us rewrite the narrative for these families, because together, it's never just you, it's all of us, standing shoulder to shoulder, making a difference.
And I love you, and goodbye.
So, yeah, that's
awesome.
That's
best
something.
With it.
I know, I'm excited. Obviously, that video really kind of pulls at your heartstrings, and it's an important cause, and I've committed to Kerry. I want to run it for the next 10 years.
Fair dues.
So this is year
Fair
number two
dues.
Of 10. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Good. Before we come on to Break 75 then, which was last week at the amazing Yas Links in...
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, that's good. We are, never afraid on this podcast to give our opinion on things and to pick a side. And we've done that very vocally with sometimes with Liv and the PJ Tour. And that naturally, when you do pick a side, comes down to a level of criticism, etc. You put yourself out there. One thing this podcast, or I personally, Rick, I think you're probably in the same boat, I'm not prepared to go down, is the route of politics, because it's a fight you'll never win. And personally, a fight I'm not massively invested in. However, this week, we have to mention this because it's gone absolutely viral all over the place. Donald Trump has posted essentially like a tweet, but on his platform, which is called Truth Social, I believe. And it's been quote tweeted by Joe Biden, obviously the president of the United States, which is quite... I don't think that happens very often. He's got to put a screenshot of it. The reason I'm mentioning this on a golf podcast is it's because it's about golf. So let me just read this to you. This is from Donald, his real account, Donald J. Trump. It is my great honour to be at the Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach tonight, awards night, to receive the Club Championship Trophy and the Senior Club Championship Trophy. I won both. A large and golfing talented membership, a great and difficult course made the play very exciting. The qualifying and match play was amazing. A large and distinguished group will be there tonight. Very exciting. Thank you. So that was his post, quote tweeted or quote post, whatever, by Joe Biden that said, congratulations, Donald, quite the accomplishment, which I'm guessing was potentially said with tongue in cheek. Who knows? But this has gone absolutely mad that firstly, Donald J. Trump has won the club champs and the senior club champs, and then that Joe Biden is congratulating him on it.
Wow. I mean, this gives me a bit of an opportunity to also talk about something that happened the end of last year. So I've been at Trump International in West Palm Beach. It's where I filmed a lot of the content that I filmed with Bryson DeChambeau. And when I was there, one of the days, the first day, in fact, Donald Trump was on site.
Wow.
And I'll talk about the golf course first. The golf course is spectacular. It's one of the things, like, I've played quite a number of Trump courses now. I've not filmed many. One of my favorite golf courses in the entire world, I've got a picture here behind me, is Trump International in Aberdeen. Yep. It's absolutely phenomenal. The Trump courses that I've played, regardless of the politics, are some of the best golf courses I've ever played. I've played Trump National in LA. I played that on my honeymoon. I've played Trump Ferry Point in New York. Incredible. I've played Trump Aberdeen. I've played Trump Jupiter. That's where we filmed the 10-shot challenge with Bryson DeChambeau, and also filmed the West Palm Beach one. No question, the golf courses are bloody hard. Mm-hmm. Really challenging, difficult, beautiful golf courses. Went on site on the first day when I filmed with Bryson. Bryson told me that Donald Trump was going to be there. Now, again, I'm not into American politics at all. I know who the president is and who it's been over the last few years, but I don't follow it heavily. Do you follow it heavily?
No. I suppose I've got the slightest level of interest only because a lot of the YouTube I watch is not to do with golf. They do talk about Trump a lot, and that's not because I'm in favour of that, but it seems that in America, a lot of the younger people are Trump fans, not all, obviously, and that's almost quite cool. Whereas over here, it's definitely not cool necessarily for younger people to be conservative. That's the only thing I sometimes think is weird, but I'm not educated enough to understand.
So when we went to the golf course, me and the camera guys, it was really, really busy. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of very nice cars, and there was a huge feeling of security presence. In fact, there was a lot of security on site. Again, I went effectively the guest of Bryson, as you know. Bryson had arranged the golf course, he'd arranged the filming. I went just as a guest. And when I was on site, Bryson told me that Donald Trump was going to be there. It's like, that's a bit crazy. Mm. I wouldn't have ever expected Donald Trump to be there. At a point of filming, this was just before we were starting to film, me and Bryson were on the driving range, and really randomly, Kyle Berkshire, mm-hmm. who has been a world-long drive champion, showed up, right? He was playing that day as well. Then there was three other long drivers, a guy called Bobby Ray, who was a hell of a character, Bobby Ray, two female long drive guys, and a bit of a crew with him, a collection of people. And we were on the driving range, and everyone's whacking balls, and I'm stood there watching Buddy Bryson hit balls, and Kyle Berkshire hit balls, thinking, oh my God, I'm such a weak individual. And as I'm watching all this take place, I knew Donald Trump was out on the golf course somewhere. After nine holes, he had to go past the driving range, and he pulled up. As you'd imagine, there's a bit of a commotion going on. He pulled up to have a look what was going on. He knew Bryson well. He's played quite a lot of golf with Bryson. And he stood there watching all these long drive guys. And I'm kind of in the side corner hitting some shots and doing whatever I'm doing. And it was a bit of a surreal moment for me, because it's like, that guy's been the president. Mm. Like, and again, I'm not into politics. I know there's lots of, you know, people who support him and people who don't support him. And I was just kind of in the peripheral view of it all, just kind of almost spectating, like almost just soaking all this in, going, this is one of the weirdest scenarios I've ever been in my life. And just as he's starting to leave, he's starting to get a few pictures with the guys. Bryson's grabbing a picture. Kyle Berkshire's grabbing a picture. And at the end, it was like four or five long drive guys, Donald Trump. And I was, again, just off the side. I wasn't really getting involved in it. I was just kind of holding off fire. And one of the guys kind of went, Rick, come over here. Come and jump in this picture. Now, everyone's there, guy. Like, everyone is there. Donald Trump, you've got the four or five long drive guys. You've got Bryson. It's like, Rick, come over here. At that point, I didn't feel like I was in a position to be able to make a choice.
Yep.
I didn't feel like I was going to be able to just say, oh, no. I kind of went, oh, no, don't be, it's all right. And they went, no, come on, Rick, come and jump on this picture.
And just to ask you a question then, I'm guessing that was because, again, rather than your allegiance to or not to Donald Trump, that was more the fact that you knew if you get a picture with Donald Trump or you're on a picture with Donald Trump, that's going to go big on social media. And naturally, it's going to have some people who love that and like, way to go, Rick. And then some people who are going to go, what the hell are you doing, Rick? You can't win, really.
At that very, very moment in time, it was more the fact of, It was such a bizarre scenario that I was like, where do I sit with all of this? And I have to make a really quick split decision. And I'm getting kind of like, Rick, come and jump on this picture. Come and jump on this picture. So I kind of like, I can't really say no. Like, it would have seemed rude. It would have seemed a bit like, you know, what the hell? So I walked over there and I stood on the kind of a bit Ashley Cole-esque, stood on the end of this picture. Now, I didn't think anything of it. I it wasn't my phone. It wasn't my picture. I didn't take the picture. There was no real communication dialogue. It was just like a bit of a snapshot. And kind of off I went and carried on practicing. I was saying to Bryson, that was a bit mad. He's like, I'm playing golf with him tomorrow or day off. And I was like, that's crazy. So I was asking a few questions about his golf, actually. And Bryson actually said he's quite a good golfer, going back to this point in a minute. And I didn't think anything of it. I went out playing Bryson that day. And one of the long drive guys, what was his name? Do you remember?
What was he called? He was Bob as well, wasn't he?
I think he was called Bob as well.
Yeah.
He did post it on social media. My mic's gone.
My mic's gone. There we go. We're back.
Hello. And this guy did post on social media. Once I got in after the round of golf, I mean, it absolutely blew up. It was like, I got so many messages. I didn't address it at the time because I didn't feel like I needed to. The only reason I'm kind of even talking about it now, because I feel like I needed to set the scene and people to understand what happened in that scenario. I'm not pro, against, I'm from the UK. It doesn't, to some sense, bother. I'm not even political from the UK, really. I'm not really that bothered who's running our country, as long as they do a good job. That going back to that point, Bryson mentioned that he's pretty good golfer, he's pretty handy. Whether he won the actual men's club championship and the seniors club championship, is a big, big ask.
You know, you said you're not political in the UK. How come then you're always coming with your Rishi Sunak hat on?
Well, what's weird, like this podcast, we've talked about Rishi Sunak, but it's never you. We talked about Donald Trump, Joe Biden.
Let's make it further. You also have a Keir Starmer jumper as well, don't you?
I mean, this is how out of touch I am. I was going to say David Cameron.
Bloody Margaret Thatcher.
I just know there was, whenever I was...
you just have to pay too much bloody tax, don't you?
I pay too much bloody tax. Yeah, whoever stops him paying as much tax.
Well, if, I don't know if he will or not, but if that is a clip on YouTube, let's just say Rick Shields addresses meeting Donald Trump, that would go massive. But it's a... We'll work on that. You might know if you're watching this if it is a clip or not.
It was one of those weird scenarios that I didn't expect to happen, and it wasn't any pro or against. From what I witnessed from him, he was very talkative. He was very interested in what people were doing. I did hit a golf shot, and I heard him in the background mention something about how God even eats it well, and that was talking about me. That's as far as it got.
Well, speaking of weird things happening, and then onto the Rake 75 that we filmed at Yaz Links, I on Friday went to watch Michael McIntyre in Manchester. Oh, yeah. And he was really good. He was hilarious. And we were relatively last minute, and we got there, and we were saying, should we get some chocolate? It's Friday night. We're not with the baby. Let's have a bit of chocolate. So we got in the queue, and we're queuing up to...
For all parents, though, of course when they're not with the
I
kid.
Got a massive Coke Zero, and wife got a bottle of water, and we got some chocolate. Absolutely rock and roll. And as we're about to get served, we'd not been there 5 minutes, this kind of bloke behind me went, "Hey, guy, you're not staying watching Break 75 tonight?" I was like, "Oh, no, whatever." Joke. He obviously watches the videos, so thank you to that person. But the Break 75 that went out that night was Yaz Links, which is in Abu Dhabi. What an amazing golf course, and you played very decently indeed.
I had the most birdies I've had in any round of golf, I think. I had 5 birdies, which is almost a third of the holes.
If you could make 5 birdies every round, no bogeys, nothing worse than par, every single time you played golf, you could be on tour.
Easily.
That's all you have to do. Just do that every time you play.
And I actually had 3 twos.
Wow. So imagine that in a club comp.
I'm in the 2 sweep.
You'd be about 12 quid richer.
I don't have to pay bloody too much tax. I definitely hit the ball better than I started badly. I got it on a good rhythm. I putted really, really nicely. Mm. And just the golf course is absolutely spectacular. In fact, I did stay in on Friday night and watched a bit of it actually. And the golf course is just spectacular, isn't it?
It's insane.
One of the back nine is just out of this world. There's so many incredible holes. It was interesting because at the time we couldn't get the drone up because of laws and etc. But we actually was given some drone footage, and even like watching the drone footage back, it's like how good is even like the layout of the golf course is so bloody good. And when you see it from the drone, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
unbelievable golf course.
What an amazing course.
What have we got out this week, actually?
So we've got Stream Song on Friday.
Nice.
So that should be a good one. I have not seen anything of that just yet.
There's a lot of people have been asking quite a bit of like, but hell, Rick, you're in America 1 week, then you're in Woodhall Spa. As we mentioned again on the podcast, and you hardcore listeners, the fact of, yes, there's a lot of things that have been shot out of chronological order at the moment, so we will get back into a better order, but we are still releasing content that we filmed in December in Abu Dhabi. This Stream Song was filmed in January when we went to Orlando. Cabot Citrus Farms was released that same week as well, so yeah, all good.
Okay, before we wrap this up, Rick, and then we jump into the Clubhouse podcast, which will be out on Friday. Very excited for that. I've got one Dear Rick for you, because we want more Dear Ricks coming in, and we massively appreciate people that email us. So I've got one, Rick, for you. So this is going to need your real full brain capacity. You ready? I don't think I'm ready. No, are you ready? Okay, so Dear Rick, we are having an issue and need your opinion. Myself and 3 friends are members at a golf club, and we have a few other friends that sometimes join us as guests. They don't play golf regularly enough to justify paying for membership to join us as a guest. However, recently we've been booking tee times, 3 members and then the 1 guest. Despite it being the middle of winter, with multiple full empty tee slots around us for members to use, the head pro is getting older members to call him up and tell him we have a guest, which should not be allowed before 10 o'clock. So I kind of stutters my words a bit there, but basically there's three members, one guest, teeing off before 10 o'clock, but it's very quiet, okay? And older members aren't liking that. We have already committed to playing with our friend, so on an occasion we have had to play elsewhere as the tee times after 10 o'clock are all fully booked. I emphasise again, there are multiple free spots pre-10 a.m, and it's the night before the round, so they're clearly not getting booked. So the night before the round, Friday night, they're checking. Yeah, we're fine. You know, before 10 o'clock, members aren't liking it. We find this ridiculous that sad old men are sat at home scanning the tee sheet and reporting us to the pro, forcing his hand into making us remove the guest, which would bring in money to the golf club in green fees. When will golf club members change their attitudes and begin to open up to the new age of golfers? All the best. Love the pod. Alex, his golf club will remain anonymous. So from Alex.
Alex.
Do you feel his pain?
Rules are bloody rules. Rules are rules, and if you're not willing to abide by them, get out of there.
Wow.
You know, I am slightly torn on this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I am slightly torn on this one. There's a kind of a lot to unpack. You've got to bear in mind, I worked at a golf shop, and we had a very similar policy, certainly at a weekend, that before a certain time, it was members only.
Yep, fair.
And I think that's important. Members pay a lot of money to be able to access the tee sheet when they want to access it.
Mm-hmm.
And albeit the fact it's not being used, whatever it is, if I was a member and I wanted to play before 10 o'clock and I couldn't get on because there was loads of tee times booked through members and guests, I'd be a bit nuts off.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not be the case?
In that instance, yes.
But let's say, for example, like when you go to the gym, I don't know the policy if it's the same as gyms, but if your peak time when you went to the gym was the time when members were allowed to bring guests, and suddenly every time you went to the gym, every piece of equipment was busy, you've paid a membership.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are entitled to be able to use that facility when you see fit. So the fact of there is times available for members only before 10, I think that's absolutely fine. I think that should be something that remains, if I'm honest with you. I think that's fairly flexible, because after 10, you could bring a guest.
But what they're saying, though, to play devil's advocate, is that post 10, it's busy, because people
get that.
But then pre 10, it's dead. Should the club change the rule then, do you think?
It could be tweaked. It could be something to review. Where I don't agree with what's happened in that situation, and I can understand why he's getting frustrated with that, is that, like, say, grumpy old men are ringing up because they know they brought a guest. That is a bit silly. But to some degree, they are members and they're entitled to have that opinion. Rules have to be put in place. You know, certainly when I was an assistant pro at MIA, there was a lot of rules. Some of that, as a member of staff, some I absolutely hated to enforce. So, like, there was a rule, certainly when I was a pro there, that socks had to be a certain length if you're wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was really awkward. It was really, really awkward. The amount of times I had to warn people because they couldn't wear black socks, or the socks was too short. It was awkward, but that was a rule of the club. Again, things like, I always remember this story, and I won't mention the pro's name. On a Sunday morning, again, we used to have a similar policy. I don't think you could bring guests before 10:30. And one morning, I was in the pro shop, you know, doing whatever I'm doing, there for the members. And three members brought a golf professional with them, okay? And it really ruffled me up, because it was like, I didn't get a phone call for courtesy. I checked with the head pro, he didn't get a phone call for courtesy. It was in a time frame where it should have been only members. Like, members pay a lot of money for that members-only spot.
One more question then. As we keep saying, we're going to do loads more questions in the Clubhouse episode coming on Friday. But, quick one for you, from Dean Holt. And it's kind of similar to the last topic, but not really. Why do golf clubs charge more for membership the older you are? My son's school teacher plays at a local club, and because he is 29 years old, his membership is half what mine would be if I was to join the same golf club and I'm 51. So a 29-year-old guy, let's just say, pays £1,000. 51-year-old guy has to pay £2,000. Is it fair? Do you agree with it? Can you see the point in it?
I think you have to taper costings for younger members.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should also be a cutoff point, certainly maybe over 25, where probably everyone's everyone's fee then is the same.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I can kind of get his point, but at the same time, you wouldn't expect a 14-year-old junior to pay the same as a full member. And I suppose the junior doesn't always get the same rights as a full member. Maybe there's certain competitions they can't play, or they can't go in certain parts of the clubhouse, right or wrong, or whatever. That's kind of the rule. And obviously then when you're a student at university, and you might be 18 or 19, which is legally a grown-up, but you can't afford it, so I kind of get that. And then you could argue again, when you're 20, 21, 22, you might be in your first full-time job where inevitably your salary is probably not going to be as much as it would be if you're 51. Not always the case, but typically. But like you said, there has to then be a cut-off point, doesn't it? So it's kind of like, is 29, I mean, at 29 years old, you could have been working for however many years in a full-time job. You might be at a very high level. It's like kind of what does...
I certainly think up to 21, it should definitely be tapered. So, you know, I think there should be a price up until 16, cheap.
Yeah.
As cheap as you can possibly make it for a junior. Between 16 and 18, it goes up a little bit more. Between 18 and 21, it goes up a little bit more. You could argue then from 21, it goes to full price. You could put it one more little bit in.
I like 25.
21 and 25.
Yeah. And then it's...
But then it's full price.
I think the argument is, though, and back to the first email, is that he said old members. You know, golf clubs understand that old members are important. There's a lot of golf clubs with a lot of old members, and that's fine. They should be treated just as well as anybody else. But to survive, golf club need new members, don't they? Younger members who are going to come and hopefully be members for 30, 40 years and spend money on alcohol and green fees and whatever it might be at that golf club. So if it is expensive for people under the age of 30, it might turn them away from either your golf club or golf in general. In which case, as bad as it sounds, when your membership gets to the point where they're either not playing golf or, God forbid, pass away, how are you filling that gap? Yeah. So you kind of need to entice them, but keep it fair. It's tough, isn't it?
Is there many green places that the memberships then price goes lower as you do get older?
Not that I'm aware of, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some... We had a member at my golf club years ago who was like, that sounds bad, ludicrously old, who shouldn't really have probably been driving because he wasn't the best. But anyway, I'm sure he either had a cheap or free membership. It's almost like it's a one-off. It's like, you know, it's almost like a nice thing.
I'm almost thinking of like, let's say, like a senior membership rate. Over it's a certain age.
I wouldn't be surprised if golf clubs do, but it's not something I'm fully aware of. Because again, a lot of seniors play the most golf because they're obviously often retired, in which case they're getting great value anyway. But it's a funny one. I think, again, going back to your gym analogy, I think at the gym, there's one member, obviously kids, and there's one membership, whether you're 21 or 55. But again, you could argue gyms don't have the same issues that golf clubs have. I don't know.
Do many golf clubs have like peak and off-peak memberships?
So a lot of them have like weekday, don't they? Which essentially is the same thing. So yeah, my old golf club had a 5-day membership, which was obviously from Monday to Friday, and then you had to pay a member's guest at a weekend. Then they had one called Silver, which meant you were a member of the golf club, you could have a handicap and play all the comps, but every time you played, you had to play a green fee, which was kind of like, it meant you could play comps though, because obviously the difference is if you're mates with a member, then you could always pay a green fee, but you clearly couldn't play comps or whatever. Whereas as a silver, you could do everything. I think my brother did it one year because he wasn't playing a lot of golf, but ended up finding out he played less because he was like, he wanted to go and play on like a Wednesday. And he's like, oh, can I have a brother go and pay £30 or whatever it is maybe a bit less than that, but to pay a green fee. And then in the end, you end up not playing at all, losing the portion of membership you have paid because that might have been £300, £400, £500 they had to put down initially to become a silver member. So it's like a tricky one, isn't it, really? I think that's why, no plug here, play more golf I thought was a good option when I've done that before, where you pay a set amount and you get a set amount of points. If you use it all, then you've used it all. If you think it's worth it to buy more points, you can. If you don't use it, you don't use it. I think that's a good way of doing it, personally.
Do you think you're ever going to join a golf club again?
Yes, but not for a long time. I don't have that desire to play. I love being
But then is that, again, just going back to this point, is that a price thing, or is that just the fact that right now you're a young parent, you've got things that you're doing at the weekend, like narrow boating.
Yeah, correct.
Obviously, you get to play a lot of golf with me and, like, in your job anyway.
It's possibly a price, but not so much prices, it's value. So, for example, if it was, silly analogy, if it was £10 to be a member of a golf club, well, of course I'd pay it, because if I didn't play, so what? If it's £2,000 or whatever, I can thankfully afford to pay that, but I know that in reality I might play once a month max. So over a year, is 12 rounds of golf worth £2,000? Well, no. So it's a case of marrying the two up. And that's why, again, playing more golf was good, because a few hundred quid, and it's like, well, I'll pay it. And if I don't play, I don't want to lose the money, but I'm kind of prepared to do so if I must. But if I ended up then going playing more because I could. So I think it's something that is in the pipeline for the future, but it's not something I'm missing at the minute at all. Playing golf on a weekend does not cross my mind.
No.
Because I sometimes see questions of people, again, going to questions, people say, oh, Guy, you know, I've seen you've got a young family. How do you play golf? And I can't answer them because I don't, other than with you in work time.
We're in a very different situation. Aren't we? Like, if we worked on Monday to Friday, a job not in golf, weekend would be your only way of playing golf.
Exactly. And like Saturday, we've got baby ballet and those other things. And before you know it, the weekend's gone. So I don't feel qualified to give that advice to people, really. And you're similar.
Oh, God, I couldn't give that advice one bit.
It's hard if you are a young parent or any or got children and stuff, and you, like, even when they get older, you've got kids' parties, which you know all about, and you've obviously got three kids. I don't know how people find the time. And then if you only are playing once a week, that's still better than nothing. But then 4 rounds of golf a month for a green fee of, what, two grand a year, whatever it might be, it's expensive.
Mm. Yeah, it is. Anyway. Is that it?
That's it for now.
Friday. Clubhouse episode. We're going to answer some more questions, quick fire. It's going to be a bit more chilled out. You'll check out the vibe.
You'll get it.
Be sure, please, again, if you can support the Just Giving page for the charity run I'm doing in London Marathon, it'd be massively appreciated. You guys are the best ever. And if we can, grand total of all the charity work we've done, get over 250,000 would be incredible. So if we need to ideally try and raise 10,000 for It's Never You.
Amazing cause. Two things in the Clubhouse episode for Friday, you will tell us what your new obsession is.
Yes.
And you'll also tell everyone listening your political allegiance, which you didn't want to say in this podcast.
I'm really not getting into that. I really am not. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for checking it out. Thanks for listening. If you've got to this point and just checking it out, thank you. We'll see you next week. Or we'll see you on Friday for a little treat in your ears.
She said.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.